Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
So what'd you think?
Well, it was ambitious. Probably more than I would have wanted from a continuation. But in terms of all the talk about it's not going to make enough money, it's not going to make enough or meet its box or meet its production costs, all that, I just have to say in terms of the pursuit of it, they've made it for me.
Yeah?
So it doesn't matter. All that stuff doesn't matter because they made it for people that know the story, that appreciate it. So any concerns about all the other, making money off of it, it doesn't matter because I think over time it will reap its return.
Yeah, but Blade Runner is your all-time favorite movie. Why is it your all-time favorite movie, and what are your expectations for a sequel?
Well, I would just say that they didn't pursue it. Like I said, they made it for me, but I'm just indulging in their interpretation, and the original movie was still my favorite. This is a continuation of it. It's okay. It spun kind of strangely from where it came from, but not too strangely. So I'm not dissatisfied with it.
But why is Blade Runner your favorite movie?
It was just original in terms of its production value and the story. I think that it was an interpretation of the future, which interpretations of the future on film are always flawed, but they're just imaginative. So I thought it was fascinating back in 1982, and still do.
I was watching Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and you mentioned interpretations of the future, and you mentioned before how they were looking at Polaroids in the original Blade Runner, which is set, 30 years into the future?
2019, right.
Yeah, and I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, and Ryan Gosling was on, and he showed a clip, and it was when he and his digital girlfriend were in the flying car in the rain, and it showed outside the car, and the car has windshield wipers. Jimmy Kimmel pointed that out. So I guess they were hedging their bets in terms of windshield wipers still being there.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned windshield wipers, because I watched Flash of Genius today.
Yeah, okay. So two different movies, I guess, to take in one day, but
yeah.
The running time is pretty heavy.
Yeah, really long.
Too long?
Probably a little too long. I anticipate now director's cut, studio cut,
So
I'll be fine with a shorter version, I think, for another look.
And remind me which cut of Blade Runner is your favorite?
The original.
The theatrical?
The original theatrical cut with the narration.
That's pretty rare for big fans of Blade Runner to prefer that version.
Yeah, well, I've seen all of them, I think, and I still like the original. I'm fine with it. I had no quarrel with it.
So what did you think of this version of Blade Runner 2049? Are you anticipating the director's cut, or are you fine with this one, too?
I missed the narration.
Were you surprised with how little Harrison Ford was in the movie?
I actually thought he was in it a little more than he might have been. I was okay with it. He came in a little late. I would have liked for him to have been around a little earlier. I was kind of put off with how he just sat there struggling in handcuffs for about 10 minutes. I didn't care for that.
He's pretty helpless.
But I'll tell you one thing. I don't give anything away, but as far as the guest appearances, I thought that was pretty creative.
Well, we can talk about the spoilers. Do you mean Edward James Olmos in particular?
No, not him at all. I knew what was going to happen with that. I knew he was going to create an Norm Macdonald character.
Right.
I thought it would be a unicorn, look like a bull.
Yeah.
But no, I'm talking about Liberace and Frank Sinatra and Marilyn Monroe.
So not characters from the first movie.
No.
Oh, and the Sean Young reappears digitally.
Yeah, now I'm not. Was that her, or was that just a...
That's digital.
Image of her.
Yeah, that was computer generated.
She wasn't in the... it wasn't her original performance in this, right?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they showed a clip from the old movie at one point where it was...
Yeah, I remember that.
It was her, but...
Yeah, how do you like our owl?
This is a trend in Hollywood now where they recreate actors digitally. They did it in Rogue One with two different characters. That new Star Wars movie where they recreated Carrie Fisher's face, Peter Cushing's face. They've done it in Marvel movies. It's just become...
I think they did it in Superman. Marlon Brando, one of those Superman sequels.
Yeah, maybe.
They did it with that, yeah.
It's just become a big trend now. And I guess this movie gets away with it because she's supposed to be artificial,
right?
Like, she's supposed to be a rendering of what...
Rachel.
Of Rachel, of what he remembers about Rachel, and they get it wrong. So it's supposed to be flawed, I guess, but still it kind of cheats in getting away with it. But anyway, I mean, just in terms of the tone of what you loved about Blade Runner, do you think that this new version with this new director captured any of that?
I think it pretty much did. I just thought that Jared Leto's character was just too evil. Just, you know, way evil.
Yeah,
so
pretty broad.
The emphasis on pain and all that, I just didn't care for that.
Not as interesting as Tyrell in the first movie.
No, Tyrell was not as evil. Tyrell was just somebody looking to make a fortune. And, you know, beyond fortune, but this guy was evil.
Right.
It wasn't about the money.
And what did you think of the replicant Love, his sort of right-hand woman who sort of did all his dirty work?
That reminded me of Her.
Of who?
Like an expansion of the movie Her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So, I mean, Jared Leto's right-hand man.
Oh, that hench woman?
Right.
She was good. She was funny. She was libidinous.
Right.
But she was also kind of comedically evil.
Yeah,
I was talking about the...
Right.
Joe's electronic girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, it was just like her.
Yeah, but, you know, an expansion on her in terms of the, you know, the reality part of it.
I thought that there were some interesting sort of futuristic guesses and details and ideas, like how he prepared his meal and then... He had sort of like a digital composite of like a meal that he would like to eat on top of what he was actually eating. He had the digital girlfriend. He had like you said, I mean, it's always flawed in movies because like a hoverboard in Back to the Future or whatever, even in Blade Runner, like this stuff may never exist, but it's always fun to see what people come up with.
But also, you know, it was not too far advanced from the first one in terms of all those out ads in the air, you know, the floating advertisements and all that. That was pretty much close to it. Not as much emphasis on the street people, although you could see them in like silhouette.
There was like one scene where, you remember in the opening of the first Blade Runner, he's on the street, he's eating noodles at that cafe, and then Edward James almost picks him up.
Yeah.
There's sort of one scene that kind of calls back to that, where that girl... who we learn a little bit more about later in the movie, approaches him, and he's just kind of hanging out in like an area. Yeah,
restaurant.
But you see the umbrellas, and it's raining again. Yeah, they sort of try to recreate that vibe.
Well, it was only 30 years before.
Right. Right, so technologically, the city seemed pretty similar to what it was.
Too big to me, though. A little too big.
Yeah. And how about the... They kind of got straight to the point in terms of... Like, a big mystery with the first Blade Runner is Deckard a replicant? Who's a replicant? Do they know they're replicants?
Right.
They kind of got right to it at the beginning of this, where they reveal Ryan Gosling as a replicant from the get-go.
Yeah. But it's still kind of made kind of vague with Deckard.
Yeah. You think so?
Well, he was vague at the end of his response, although he said, I know what's real.
Right. Well, I figure Deckard, it's pretty... It's pretty obvious now that Deckard is not a replicant when he couldn't remove his restraint while he was stuck in the car at the end of the movie,
right.
like the others could have.
Yeah.
Very human. So, I thought that was it. And that the guy at the beginning of the movie that Ryan Gosling hunts down.
Yeah.
You know who that was?
No.
His name is David Bautista. He's
a wrestler.
He's a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's made a big name for himself in movies. Lately, because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he looks like an alien kind of.
Yeah, he was good. But so, You liked it or didn't like it?
I liked it. But yeah. Again, I don't see that as a commercial movie. It was not made for a broad audience. So that $155 million investment was not for people lining up to see it. It just was not a movie that a lot of people are going to want to see.
And ours was pretty sparsely attended in our theater.
Yeah, it was.
That didn't surprise you.
No.
Well, the first Blade Runner didn't really make a lot of money either.
No.
And it's
science fiction. They just usually don't. Star Wars was not like that. Star Wars was for kids.
Yeah.
And the young people loved it, so, and it endured, but this is different.
Yep. All right, thanks.
Thanks for the ride.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.